In the past 24 hours, we have taken historic decisions which will keep our alliance strong in an uncertain world. We have adopted a readiness action plan. We have agreed ways to improve our military capabilities, and we have improved our cooperation with partners. But when it comes to security, you get what you pay for, and it doesn't come on the cheap. 24 years ago, NATO leaders met in London. Their vision was a Europe whole, free, and at peace. And over the last quarter of a century, we have worked hard to make that vision a reality. But now it is in danger. Russia's illegal annexation of Crimea and its continued aggressive actions elsewhere in Ukraine, as well as the spread of violence and extremism in North Africa and the Middle East, affect security to NATO's east and south. In this dangerous world, we recognize that we need to invest additional effort and money. So today, the alliance made a pledge on defense investment. We agree to reverse the trend of declining defense budgets and raise them over the coming decade. We will direct our defense budgets as efficiently and effectively as possible and aim to move towards the NATO guideline of spending 2% of gross domestic product on defense and with a view to meeting NATO capability priorities. We will review our progress every year, and it will remain on the agenda of future NATO summits and meetings of defense ministers. This is no easy task, and there is much work to do. But the direction of travel is clear, and the security of our countries and citizens is too important for us to cut corners or to cut still more funds. And without security, we can have no prosperity. Today's decision will further strengthen the transatlantic bond, enhance the security of all allies, and ensure a more fair and balanced sharing of costs and responsibilities within Europe and across the Atlantic. For over 65 years, NATO has been at the forefront of building stability in an unpredictable world. It underpins our freedom and security from the west coast of North America to our eastern borders. Today, we reaffirm our continuing and unwavering commitment to defend the populations, territory, sovereignty, and shared values of all allies in North America and Europe. We will meet challenges and threats wherever they come from. With the decisions we have taken here in Wales, NATO will remain the bedrock of our collective defense. So in Wales, we have made NATO fitter, faster, and more flexible. We have brought our partners even closer, and we have made the vital bond across the Atlantic stronger. Now, while this is not the end of my mandate, this is my final summit as Secretary General after 5 years in this post. These have been some of the busiest and most challenging years in the history of our alliance. We have brought our longest mission in Afghanistan close to completion and prepared the next chapter in our engagement. We have launched new missions with new partners and developed new capabilities. We have cut fat and built muscle. We adopted a new strategic concept that created the framework for the new NATO, developed smart defense as a tool to develop new capabilities and make more efficient use of our resources. We developed a Connected Forces initiative as a tool to improve our ability to work and operate together as allies and with our partners. We have enhanced our partnerships, and it has made NATO a hub of a network of international security partnerships. And now we have also adopted a readiness action plan that will improve our ability to act swiftly if needed. Together, we have shaped the NATO of tomorrow, a renewed alliance for a new era, an alliance that is ready, robust, and resolute, and I'm proud to have led NATO through this pivotal time. And finally, let me also take this opportunity to say thank you to Prime Minister Cameron for hosting the Wales Summit. Thank you for your personal commitment to NATO, to strong defense and the bond between North America and Europe. To the people of Wales, thank you for your warm hospitality. Diolch in vowa. And with that, I'm ready to take your questions.
We'll start with Wall Street Journal.
Thank you. Stephen Fidler from the Wall Street Journal. Three questions, if I may, but very quick. The statement mentions the 2% benchmark and that and the 20% of that, 2% of GDP benchmark and 20% of that for major equipment. Now, that 2% is not new. It's been around for more than a decade, and defense spending has continued to fall. I mean, what do you think needs to happen now, and what will happen to make sure that actually defense spending does turn around and doesn't continue to fall? What will be different now to what happened before? My second question relates to this so-called spearhead force and whether you have had any pledges from nations already indicating that they would send forces into that force. David Cameron, I think, mentioned that this morning, that the UK would do that. And my third question is just a brief assessment, if possible, on the Ukraine peace plan, because I understand you may have been briefed about it.
First, on defense spending, what is new? Firstly, it is new that heads of state and government have committed to working towards the 2% guideline. Secondly, it's new that there is now introduced a timeline. We'll do it within a decade. Thirdly, and I think actually most importantly, this decision has been taken in a completely new security environment. Russia's aggression against Ukraine is a wake-up call, and I think this is exactly what has led capitals in NATO-allied nations to reconsider defense investment, because it's now obvious that we cannot take our security for granted. and we will have to invest more in our defense and security, over the last 5 years, Russia has increased its defense investment by 50%, while NATO allies, in average, have decreased their defense spending by 20%. And obviously, this is not sustainable. So I think this new security environment will be the driving force for now actually implementing this pledge. And actually, a number of allies have already declared, based on broad political agreements in their parliaments, that they will reverse the trend, stop the cuts, gradually increase in defense investment towards the 2% benchmark. So that's why I'm confident that this is really a change. We have turned a corner. On the spearhead force, yes, we have heard announcements of willingness to contribute to the spearhead force, so no doubt that it will be established. And in general, I can tell you that the implementation of the readiness action plan will start immediately. Finally, on Ukraine, I warmly welcome if a real ceasefire could be established. But one thing, of course, is to declare a ceasefire. The next and crucial step, of course, is to implement it in good faith, and it remains to be seen. But so far, so good. I hope that this step could be the start of a constructive political process.
Financial Times.
Sam Jones, Financial Times. Just wanted to ask, are you disappointed at all with the agreement that's been reached on defence spending, given the long time frame? And do you feel that, or what's your message to allies that may use this as an excuse not to increase defence spending in the near term or for the next few years? And also, maybe I was wondering if you could respond to a statement from the Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs recently, just in the last hour or so, that the upshot of the summit is that it proves that NATO's long-standing idea has been to put troops on the ground in Eastern Europe, and the Ukrainian crisis has been a mere excuse to do so.
No, I'm not disappointed. On the contrary, I'm encouraged by the fact that all allies at the level of heads of state and government have committed to reverse the trend, stop the cuts, start gradually increasing defense investments. We have known right from the outset that this would be a challenging task and that it couldn't be done overnight. So I think to have a time horizon of a decade, of 10 years, that's reasonable. Also because defense investment is a long-term planning issue. From you make a decision to invest in certain capabilities till they can actually be delivered, developed and delivered, very often it takes quite some time. So it is a very important decision. You ask me if it could be used, this time horizon of 10 years could be used to postpone immediate steps. I don't think it will be used to postpone immediate steps. On the contrary, we have seen a number of allies already declare that from this year, from next year, they will start gradually to increase their defense spending because they realize that this is also a short-term challenge. For instance, the reassurance measures we have adopted, they will require resources. It takes money to deploy troops to participate in exercises in the East. I can tell you that it will be quite costly to establish a spearhead force at very high alert, and that can't be postponed till the end of a decade. This will be costs, expenditure here and now, next year, this year, next year. So I'm confident that this will be a real step also in the near term. On Russia, well, I'm not surprised to see these comments. let me remind you that all this has been provoked by Russia's illegal military actions in Ukraine, plus, and we should recall that, plus the Russian statements that they preserve the right to intervene in other countries to do what they call protect the interests of Russian-speaking communities. And for many understandable reasons, such statements have created a lot of concern in not least the Baltic states. So this is a reason why we have to take necessary steps to provide effective defense of our eastern allies.
Georgian media.
Natia Guksadze, Georgian TV company, Rustavi 2. Let me follow up these questions and remind you from the prospect that Russia has not fulfilled its obligations, ceasefire agreement in 2008 during the war with Georgia. And in this situation, how could be Russian and Putin's peace plan trusted?
Yeah, well, probably you will have noted that I have all the way through being a bit cautious in my statements on these peace plans and announcements of truces and ceasefires, because you're right, based on experience, based on history, we know that one thing is a declaration and quite another thing is implementation. Nevertheless, I would welcome, of course, if the new announcement of a ceasefire represents a sincere attempt to stop the violence and initiate a constructive political process. And that's why I stressed that what counts now is clear implementation in good faith.
James.
Yes, Brooke Stigner, James Defense Weekly. Just two short questions, one on language. You said the allies have agreed to a pledge on defense investment, but I think the original draft language was for commitment. I stress the word commitment. Is that word commitment still there, or is this a watering down of the obligation of member states to increase their spending? And second, perhaps more important, could an ally's contributions in kind to NATO, increased infrastructure, troops, capabilities, be taken into account as part of their spending commitment, or must they strictly raise their financial spending, their defense budgets? Thank you. Yeah.
Now, the way you present it could leave the perception that this is a legal commitment, and as we all know, obviously it's not. It is a political commitment, and that's why we have also the concrete formulation, as you will see it in our summit declaration, is that we will aim to do this and that. But that's how politics work. But of course, there is quite some strength in a statement issued by 28 heads of state and government. While I know, as a politician myself, that very often people don't trust political pledges. It is still, from a summit, a clear statement from 28 leaders that they aim to move towards this 2% guideline. And as I said, it's the first time, it is the first time in the history of our alliance that heads of state and government issue such a statement. So it has not been watered down. It is as strong as it can be in a political world. Next, I would say that I was also encouraged by the discussion we had today, because the way leaders argued left me with the very clear impression that everybody realizes that we are now in a dramatically changed security environment. After 25 years of relatively nice weather, after the end of the Cold War, we are now faced with what I would call a profound climate change, politically and also as regards security. And that's what will be the driving force. So that's why I'm confident that we have really turned the corner, as I said.
Thank you. Salwa Amin, Compact Magazine, Germany. Has there been any discussion regarding a possible reallocation of the missile defense system against Russia during the summit? Or have there been maybe talks regarding this issue scheduled in the for the near future among the member states? Thank you.
No, the very brief answer is that we stick to our plans as they have been outlined since we took the decision in Lisbon in 2010.
Thank you very much. And with this, we conclude the last press conference of the Wales Summit. Thank you.